Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Thursday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column and podcast episode sometime in the last 15 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy it. This story was first published on October 13th of 2013 under the headline Voice of Goofy was Oregon's incomparable Pinto Colvig. Here we go. On any list of nationally famous Oregonians, there are probably a few names that you won't see. For example, Bozo the Clown, Goofy, the original Hayseed Hick from early Disney cartoons, Bluto, Popeye's thick-necked nemesis, Grumpy the Dwarf on Snow White, comedian Jack Benny's imaginary Maxwell motor car, the list just goes on and on. And these legendary characters are all the creations of the same gifted Oregon show business pioneer, Vance Pinto Colvig. Vance Colvig was born in 1892 in Jacksonville, Oregon, the youngest son of William and Adelaide Colvig. William was a prominent Jackson County attorney. Vance acquired the nickname Pinto in a reference to the plethora of freckles with which his face was painted when he was young. Very early in life, the young Vance showed remarkable comic instincts, along with musical and artistic talents. Efforts to teach the young lad to play the clarinet were crowned with great success, but more importantly, they succeeded in giving him a much-loved and very squeaky prop to clown around with. When his father took him to the Lewis and Clark Centennial Exposition in Portland in 1905, the 12-year-old Pinto brought his clarinet and used it to get himself hired in the House of Mirth. While his father browsed the exhibits and admired the proud presentations of the young state, Pinto spent the entire day clowning with his clarinet, eyes crossed, face painted white. Despite a somewhat checkered academic career in Jacksonville and later Medford, Pinto moved to Corvallis to attend Oregon Agricultural College, as Oregon State University was then called. But by this time, his self-taught drawing skills had advanced to the point of being really quite good. His cartoons became a popular item in the OAC Barometer newspaper and in the yearbook. He also played in the OAC band, clarinet, of course. All kidding aside, anyone who's ever picked up a clarinet knows that you cannot use one to make funny noises, as opposed to, of course, horrible noises, unless you actually know how to play the thing pretty well. Pinto soon became famous on campus for two things: his remarkable skill as an artist and his lack of attention to his studies. Quote, "A cartoonist is just a clown with a pencil," he once famously said. And so for the entire school year, he would clown with a pencil, while his professors would have preferred that he use it to write papers, and when summer came, he would skip town to clown in person with a circus or a vaudeville show. In vaudeville, his shtick was chalk talk, in which he'd perform an improv monologue while rapidly sketching illustrations to go with it, a kind of an on-the-fly DIY PowerPoint show. Finally, in 1913, he left OAC and signed with the Pantages Vaudeville Circuit, the chain of theaters started by the ex-fiancé of another legendary Oregonian, Klondike Kate Rockwell, to try to turn his chalk talks into a career. It must not have gone particularly well, because the next year he was back in Oregon, and he soon landed his first job as a newspaper cartoonist at the Nevada Rock Roller. Now, finally, financial stability slowly started to coalesce around him, and his life started to develop a pattern. He'd join a circus, travel, and act as a clarinet-squeaking clown until his money ran out. Then he'd find a job at some newspaper drawing cartoons for a while, then get back on his feet and do it all again. Pinto loved circus work. But in 1916, he got married, and soon he was in San Francisco with a family to support. While working at the Chronicle there, he started dabbling in a brand new field of show business, one uniquely suited to a fast-sketching chalk talker like Pinto. Animation. In those days, animation was not done with clear celluloid or acetate cells. It was done with paper cutouts simply laid down on the background. Each had to be sketched and cut out, 12 of them per second of film. Pinto spent years in the broiling heat of the massive floodlight sketching and cutting and positioning and shooting animations frame by frame in his own studio, Pinto Cartoon Comedies Company, and others. He produced what he claimed was the world's first feature-length animated cartoon, a work called Creation, and in fact it probably was, but so little of that early animation and movie work survives that we can't be sure. In fact, all that's left of Creation is a frame from the title card. The celluloid used to make movie film could be recycled into lacquer for cabinets and all sorts of other valuable things, and consequently it frequently was. We have very little surviving from that era in movies and films. By the mid-1920s, Pinto was in Hollywood and making a name there. At that time, comedy movies were being made using very dangerous stunts, and a skilled animator could actually save lives by providing the 1920s equivalent of green screen work. Some of his animated interventions can be seen on old Buster Brown comedies, among others. In 1930, Pinto joined forces with Walt Disney, and his most enduring character, Goofy, got his start. Over the following dozen years or so, Pinto worked with Disney and other Hollywood producers on some of his most memorable projects. He was the voice of Grumpy and Sleepy in Snow White, some of the Munchkins on The Wizard of Oz, Gabby in Gulliver's Travels, Bluto in Popeye the Sailor cartoons, and even, with the help of his battered old trombone, one of his favorite Foley props, Jack Benny's legendary Maxwell motor car. After the war, Pinto landed his other major role. He was cast as the voice of Bozo the Clown in the original Capitol Records series and actually played the clown personally in a television series starting in 1949. Pinto died in 1967 at the age of 75. He'd been a heavy smoker all his life, like so many others in his creative set, and the cause of his death, as with his colleague and former boss Walt Disney 3 years before, was lung cancer. In his later years, Pinto campaigned to force tobacco companies to put warning labels on cigarettes, but he himself was never able to break the addiction, and eventually it took him down. Pinto was one of the earliest pioneers of animated cartoons. Although virtually nothing remains from his work before he signed with Disney, techniques that he developed are still in use today. And although his name isn't as well known with the general public as Disney's, among professional animators and cartoonists and clowns and Foley sound technicians, he's a legend. By the way, I've mentioned Foley sound a couple of times. Foley is the sound technique by which you make a noise that is supposed to sound like another noise, like smacking a stalk of celery to make a sound like someone getting punched with a fist. Probably the best known demonstration of Foley sound technique was in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, when the fellow with the two halves of coconuts was making hoofbeat noises. Key sources in this story included works by Ben Trua, the Southern Oregon Historical Society, the Portland chapter of ASIFA, and IMDb.com. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. If you haven't yet, check out my Offbeat Oregon books. As of the time of this recording, I've published Heroes and Rascals of Old Oregon, Love, Sex, and Murder in Old Oregon, and Bad Ideas and Horrible People of Old Oregon. Sometime in the summer of 2025, a fourth title should be coming out, if it hasn't already. You know, I record these ahead of time. It will be titled Nuts, Cranks, and Characters of Old Oregon, and they are available in hardcover, softcover, and ebook, everywhere books are sold. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.